Our Old Testament reading comes from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in our faith. Now may our God and Father himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way to you. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with his saints. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, Why are you untying it? You shall say this, The Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, Why are you untying the colt? And they said, The Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. There's that picture that Nathan was talking about during our Young Time lesson. I love it. It's a beautiful one. And it reminds me of something I saw specifically as we were on a hike. I don't know if our kids, yeah, if I see some of my kids nodding, they remember. Being new transplants here to Oregon, we've loved getting to explore all the different trails, see all the amazing waterfalls we have down the gorge. It's fantastic. We were on a particular trail where we were walking along, and we saw three different waterfalls. And at the end of it, on the last waterfall, there was this massive tree right next to the waterfall that had broken and fallen away years ago. There was rot all over the stump. But you can tell it was a massive tree. And right in the middle of it, growing up out of there, was a beautiful, young, new tree. There's a branch that was sticking right out of the middle. Now, having grown up in the desert of Southern California, this was a new experience for me. I was like, this is amazing. This is the Bible verse. I've seen this. I've read this before. It was great to see it there at the end of this long hike, beautiful waterfall. And all I could take a picture of it, this third waterfall, was I just wanted to get the right picture of this tree. And then I couldn't find it in my phone to share for you today, but we have a beautiful one here behind me. This beautiful image of a tree growing up out of the death and the destruction that was previously this old, mighty tree is a wonderful thing for us as we consider our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, during this season of Advent. We just sang one of my favorite hymns, Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming. It became one of my favorites when I was older and I could enjoy slower songs. It was not always that way in my younger years for Advent. But this idea that this rose that is blooming, this floweret bright, that would come and dispel all darkness, that image of this beautiful rose growing up in the middle of a darkened world, bringing fragrant light that would light up and dispel all darkness, that all might see and know the glory of God. That's an amazing thing. So as we consider this growing tree or this little rose, this floweret, we think of Jesus, who was born as a baby after years, generations of people waiting for this, trusting then in the promises of God that he would be born. He's finally there. The king of the world, the king of all things, God himself as a baby, a little rose. And he grows up into being this branch of a new tree growing out of the death of an old one. And that rose that became a branch becomes this mighty tree of life, one that is there to shelter, comfort, and welcome in all those who seek salvation, who know that we are sinners in need of our Savior. This is what this whole season of Advent is about. We have all of our beautiful decorations here. I love seeing the Advent wreath come out. I've never had such a large Christmas tree inside of our church. That was a much less a real Christmas tree. This is amazing. It's wonderful to be here and to see all these decorations for my first time, my first Advent here at Christ the Vine. It's great to be in this season together where we thank God for being faithful to his promises, saying that he would send our Messiah, the Savior, and looking forward to when he will even further fulfill that promise and when Jesus would come again and call us all to be in heaven with him, to raise the dead, to bring all who've died in the faith to heaven with him. This season of Advent, as beautiful as it is, to have all of this extra light, like the rose that would bring the light to the world, this season, we know, is to prepare us in excitement and joy for our Christmas celebration. The fact that Jesus was born for us. He was born for a purpose, of course, and that's why we celebrate it. It's not just, yay, there was a birth of a baby. He didn't cry, I guess. That sounds nice. Not half bad to have a perfect, sinless child. Love you, kids. You're great. Of course, we don't just celebrate Christmas Day because he was born, but because he was born for a purpose, to save us. We read in our gospel reading today, one that seems a little bit out of place for Advent season, on what we would typically read for Palm Sunday, a day that came a week before his death and resurrection. Jesus calls his disciples and says, I need two of you to go untie a colt and bring it to me, one that's never been ridden on before. So they go and they find the colt, just as Jesus said, and they untie it. And someone says, hey, why do you need this? Well, the Lord has need for it. Why are you untying this colt? Well, the Lord needs it. It's interesting that this is one that's never been ridden on. This is not like a trained and broken donkey there for Jesus to ride in on. And this is a funny situation because the people we see start throwing out their coats on the ground. This whole multitude of his disciples, this large gathering of people who've come to know Jesus for all of the mighty works they've seen, They say, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." I was just talking about this rose that grew up and this little branch, and now we've got Jesus on a donkey, and they're calling him a king who comes in the name of the Lord. This all seems a little incongruous. It seems like it doesn't fit quite right. Jesus was born, as you know, in a stable, not in a beautiful, wonderful location, not a place for kings to be born, nor, for that matter, a town for the kings to be born in. And yet, here he is. 3 years into his ministry, people have gathered together because they've seen him do amazing, wonderful, marvelous things, and they say, "This is the king we've been waiting for." See, God had made some promises, and God's people have learned to say, you know what, if God promises to do something, we should probably trust he's going to do it. So they've been waiting, they've been looking forward to the day when this king that they've been waiting for, this promised king from David's line, as someone who is, Pastor Jesse Brubaker, I'm thankful that it's from Jesse's lineage. It's kind of nice. But from Jesse's lineage, from this Davidic line of kings, they knew that a king would come to sit on the throne and reign forever. They've been waiting for it. And here they are under Roman oppression, and this guy, he's been doing amazing things, miraculous things, teaching from God's word. Man, if there was ever a king who was like David, maybe even better, just maybe, it must be this guy. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. They've seen that Jesus is this great new thing. The line of kings had been broken. There were no longer kings there sitting on the throne for God's people. They were no longer just their own nation without oppression from a foreign entity. They've been waiting anxiously. When is this king going to come? And here he is. That dead line, that broken tree, finally has this big branch growing up out of it that must be the new king. And yet, as we know, they don't fully understand what that king is supposed to be. We celebrate the fact that we know what Jesus did for us. We know that he is not just an earthly king from history. Someone can look back on and say, oh, he was one of the good kings. He listened to God. He did a great job. And then there was another king, and, well, he was not so good. He was awful, in fact. He was not a king like that. He was one that would be the king forever and is our king for all eternity. Now, I've been saying before that God had promised this. I really love that we have from Jeremiah 33 one of those promises to look at. So let's take a look then at Jeremiah 33, our Old Testament reading that was read for us. In verse 14, it says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise that I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." This is what they've been waiting for. This king who will spring up for David. You may recall that God had promised David that he would have this king forever on that would be from his lineage. And here it is. God says, "I will do it. That king will be here. He will execute justice and righteousness in the land." Now, the problem was God's people had a very narrow view of what that would look like, a very narrow view of executing justice and righteousness done by this righteous branch. It's easy enough for them to possibly do that, you know. They had not yet seen a king who was God. But you see, God was promising them something far greater than they even realized. This king that would come when he executed justice and righteousness, it would not just be in their local vicinity over local squabbles. You know, women saying, this baby is mine. No, this baby is mine. Well, we'll just cut him in half. Oh, no, don't do it. God's word is exciting. This branch would not just be a local king giving justice and righteousness in one space. He would not just grow up to be a tree that covered a small territory. This branch grows up, we know, to stretch its branches and its leaves over the whole world, to provide shelter, comfort, and peace. That baby they'd been looking forward to, that rose that floweret bright, would grow up into a branch that would stand up and be beautiful for all to see. And when he died on the cross, giving up his perfect, fully obedient life for you and for me, in that moment, God exalted him and made him the king of all things. In that moment, his branches extended far longer than any king ever could imagine. He became the king for all of us, for all peoples, all nations, everyone who would trust in him as their savior. This righteous branch would make us righteous. This righteous king would care for his people in a way that no other king could. By not just saying, well, I'll forgive your sins. No, he took on the very punishment of our sins so that the payment is all done. There's nothing else to judge you with. There is no justice that needs to be laid upon you. When we die, all that's left is Christ's righteousness. When Christ returns, at this second coming, this advent of Christ that we look forward to, all that will be left for God's people is Christ's righteousness. And so we wait in a different type of darkness. It's a weird one because we have the light of Christ already in us. In fact, you're told that you're the light of Christ. You get to go out and share God's love, grafted branches onto this massive tree. And yet, the light that we have knowing Jesus Christ, the light that we can celebrate by putting in a room and getting excited, having more candles lit as we get closer, this light pales in comparison to the light that will be standing before God, seeing him in his radiance and his glory, not shying away as people have done through generations, but standing there because we are made sinless. Standing before God, being welcomed with open arms, not just by a small rose or a branch growing up, but by this massive tree of life, our King, who loves us dearly. See, it's really neat how prophecies work. When Jeremiah was sharing this prophecy, he was, of course, looking ahead to when this king would come. But I've heard prophecies described in this way. You see, we have all these different promises of God given through the prophets of old, and you get kind of one image here, and you get another image by another promise, and you get all these different images here. And yet, they're like the first pane of glass. And you look beyond it, and there's another picture even further in. Because you see, this promise of God for this king that would come was to promise, of course, he would be there. He would execute justice and righteousness on the cross. And he will come again to separate the sheep from the goats, to execute justice and righteousness again. This now and not yet prophecy We're in the in-between part. We're closer to the light. There's less panes of glass, I guess, in between. But we're still waiting. We're still looking forward to the day when we can hear verse 16 in its fullness. It's Jeremiah 33:16. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Right now, we can and we should say, the Lord is our righteousness. I am not my righteousness. You are not your righteousness. None of us possibly could be perfectly right before God. We stand saying, the Lord is our righteousness. And yet, we look forward to the day when we can say it, and not just me, also know in the back of our heads, well, he's my righteousness, but also I'm my sinfulness. We look forward to Christ's second coming, knowing that we will say, the Lord is our righteousness, and there's nothing else there. Only the righteousness granted by Jesus Christ. That baby born as a rose in the darkness, that branch that grew up, that people saw and were amazed by, who has become the very tree of life by which we go into God's glory. He is our righteousness. He is our King. And we'll close with a blessing from God found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12 from our readings, 12 and 13. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. In the season of Advent, we look forward to our King, the very tree of life, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.